Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
All right, here we go. All right. Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
Hey, and this is the wrestling podcast. We talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now and stuff. And today, we're going to talk about what everybody else is talking about. What else is there to talk about, Mark? And that is... We're both going to be coughing through this entire episode. I have a whole thing of honey here.
I got some Luden's water.
Oh, hook me up. Yeah. Oh, watermelon. Oh, man, yeah. Bless you, brother. You know, like, you got this just for me.
I did. I brought them because I knew we typically need them.
Good Lord. They're all sticking together.
That's the one thing about a Luden's, boy. They'll all jam up on you.
This episode brought to you by Luden's and SOS Custom Tees. Make sure you go like their Facebook page. And thank you. Make sure you go like their Facebook page, and you'll be entered to win their monthly contest. They give away T-shirts, autographed pictures, and then they're going to do a grand prize drawing at the end of the year. Also, check out the SOS.
The grand prize game.
That's right.
Did you ever watch? Well, I guess you didn't. You didn't get to watch Bozo growing up, did you?
Whenever I went to somebody's house who had cable, I demanded to watch Bozo.
That was the best. I always knew if I got a chance. On that grand prize
game. The ping pong game?
Oh, I knew I'd kill it.
Yeah, yeah.
I would slay at that game.
Where are they getting these kids from to play the Bozo game?
A bunch of nerds. And their friends are nerds,
That's
too.
Right.
Did you see the news the other day? I thought about the judge in New York declared the 30-year-old man had to move out of his parents' basement. How's he going to get his Wi-Fi to criticize wrestling and tell me how great New Japan Pro is?
Right. Twitter had a field day.
Oh, of course.
With that. And ironic that most of the people tweeting about that man are that man.
Are that man, yes.
SOS Custom Wrestling Network. You can get a seven-day free trial at soscustomnetwork.com. That's only $4.99 a month. We got some great new content up there. And lots of good stuff. What we're going to be talking about today, there were two things that happened this week, big news. First of all, something I didn't see, and that's the Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley segment that we want to get into. Mm-hmm. But then Fox reportedly giving WWE a 5-year contract worth $1 billion.
$1 billion.
And we just want to do kind of a deep dive into that. Not like
a deep dive, he says.
A deep dive. That's the
is that the new parlance of our times?
Yeah, I think it's I think I stole that from somebody. Listen, y'all have stolen enough from us.
I probably said it and you were like, hey, I'm gonna pass that off as my own.
Let's be honest. Some of the most popular wrestling podcasts today are watch alongs. We were the first. We did a watch along of I don't remember if it was Steve Austin, The Rock. It was a match. We said, hey, let's do a watch along. Next thing we know, Steve Austin did it. Now everybody's doing it. Yeah. That's gimmick infringement.
What can you do?
Sue them. Go sue them.
We're just going to have to keep being ourselves.
That's right.
Doing what makes us happy.
That's exactly right.
That's pretty much how I look at this thing now.
You're here today for one reason and one reason only. First of all,
we're going to KFC.
You're going to tolerate me because we're going to KFC. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Me too.
So I didn't see the Sami Zayn segment. I only read all the responses to the Sami Zayn segment. And the responses were on Twitter – that this was the worst thing in the history of not just wrestling, but of the world.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad, dude. It was awful. I mean, it was just, I can't.
Awkward, not funny.
Yes, Sami Zayn, and I thought about it the week before. He was out there with the reading glasses and the little bowler's cap or whatever that thing is. And I just thought, this is wrestling in 2018, man.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is out here. He looked like a little old man, and like, how am I supposed to take that seriously? And then they do this segment where clearly we know it's going to be dudes dressed up as women, and I don't – then there's this outrage of, are they bashing trans people? And I don't – you know, let's not apply that to everything. Jesus, man. You know,
right.
It's not – it was just bad. It wasn't right. Bad for that – it was just bad comedy. So then I posted.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear funny doesn't draw money, like, this is what people mean.
Right. Isn't it? Right.
There's always a place for comedy. Jim Cornette would cut promos and it would kind of make you laugh. And,
yeah.
But he was good at it.
Right.
You know, when Bill Watts put his face in the cake, everybody laughed, but then it got serious.
Yeah.
Which is like that segment, if you've never seen the segment where that sets up Bill Watts' Last Stampede, have you seen it?
I believe I have. Yeah.
It starts out funny, and Watts is laughing, and he's, well, we got to see that one more time. So they put somebody, you know, put his face in the – it wasn't Watts that put his face in the cake. It was – I forget. Maybe
was it JYD maybe?
No, it may have been the Rock and Roll Express. Anyway, it's been a while since I've seen it. Please forgive me. But anyway, Watts was on commentary, and he said, God, that was so funny. Let's see that one more time.
Right.
Let's see that one more time. And they played it two or three times. And then Cornette comes out the next week. And he comes out and he says, I'm suing this company and I'm suing the producer. I'm suing whoever. So then Watts comes down and says, look, if you get mad at anybody, get mad at me. I'm the one that told him to play it. I'm the one that's in charge.
Yeah.
You want to sue somebody, sue me. I don't care. I've been sued before. I ain't.
Right.
You know, I'm the one that did it because I thought it was funny. That was good comedy.
Yeah.
But then it got serious.
Yeah.
When you had Hacksaw Butch Reed down there, little stuff that used to make sense, little attention to detail in wrestling that people used to care about.
Yeah.
That they don't care about anymore. Hacksaw Butch Reed was there, and Jim Cornette had poked Watts on the just – poking him in the chest.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Watts said, all right, now, don't touch me, little fella.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking and we can this and that and other. And Butch Reed, who's a heel, also walks away. Because
mm-hmm.
even he knows we don't need to be putting our hands on the cowboy.
Right.
So there's another heel that washes his hands of the situation. It's just these little touches of detail that are the reason that it stands the test of time in a good way. And then Cornette has one of the greatest lines that I've ever heard anybody say to Bill Watts when he says, you're an old man who's got a mouth full of memories, but you can't back them up anymore.
Oh, wow.
And then he pokes him in the chest again. Watts slaps the crap out of him. And we lead into Cowboy Bill Watts' Last Stampede. That's how you can use a little comedy.
Yeah.
To then set up something serious. So if I think, to me, it was just bad. However, I said what I said, and then Michael Hofer said, was it really designed to draw money?
Right.
And it was like this revelation for me. Yes. First of all, it was an awful segment that we're sitting here talking about.
Yeah.
And people are talking about it all over. So it did generate a conversation. It did get people. So even when it's bad now, maybe there's something to that. I don't think they set out for it to be awful.
Right.
But it did generate a conversation about it. Even if the conversation was bad, it still spikes their social media scores.
And they just say to sponsors, man, look how many mentions we got on Twitter.
People were talking about this.
They don't tell them it was 90% bad.
Chances are the guys who are making the decisions about this stuff are not watching Raw on Friday nights or Monday nights or watching SmackDown. And they're not sitting around watching that stuff. So all they see is a number. Wow, they did this and this many people reacted to it. So it doesn't really matter if it's bad.
Yeah.
And then wrestling is not a per-show draw money kind of business anymore. Like and Hofer kind of with his comment, I really got thinking about that the other night. I said, man, you know, he's right. Like, it doesn't matter if it ever draws money because they just signed $1 billion deal. So that the money maybe is not in the drawing for these one or two or four big shows a year anymore.
Right.
And then the house show business. Does it matter if they got $1 billion in the bank?
Right.
Does it really matter if nobody comes to their house shows anymore? If they move it back to the Manhattan Center and have 300 people there every week.
Right.
For
right.
their TV show, does it really matter?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they can draw what local independent companies draw on a live event because that money from TV and that if they got 1 million subscribers on the WWE network and they're all paying $10 a month. I mean, geez, man.
Yeah, and that's up to 1.5 million subscribers.
All right.
On the WWE network. Here, to put this in perspective.
So what's $15 million a month?
The money they just signed, if I'm not mistaken, and as you know, I've been mistaken before.
There was that one time.
The money, which it comes out to about $200 million a year, which is more than their total profit last year. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what their total profit was. They had a good year. I saw a post because I had bought some WWE stock a couple years back. Saw where a guy, he had bought 1,000 shares of WWE stock. And his financial advisor said, you're an idiot. And he sold it all the other day and made $40,000. Right. Because he bought it at like $15 and sold it at $55.
Right.
That's crazy. If you'd have told me, I got excited when it was $30.
Yeah.
You know? So we talked, and let us be the first to say, we talked about this a while back. That we felt the wrestling business was changing, that it was going to move away from TV. We were obviously
just go to that network stuff. That's kind of,
and we were way off about that. Everybody was. People who are much smarter and much more financially inclined than us, we were all completely wrong about this.
Yeah, well, because they signed that new deal a couple of years ago, and it looked like they didn't get near as much as they wanted.
Right, right.
You know? And I think everybody thought, well, man, that you know, everybody was expecting them. The deal they just signed was the deal everybody expected them to sign a few years ago,
yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But Vince McMahon's been playing that long game
for
years, man. I mean, this is what he said he wanted to do.
And here, so let's put this in perspective for everybody. Everything you hear about Vince McMahon, he's always wanted. He's the Michael Corleone in Godfather 3. He wants to be viewed as legitimate.
Right, right.
When Joe Buck is pushing your show during an NFL broadcast, buddy, you're legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. You're out of the smoky arenas, and maybe not for the best. You know.
Right, right.
You know, I watched 3 hours worth of Raw the other day. But at the end, they had the Braun Strowman Finn Balor match was an incredible match.
Yeah,
it did exactly what it should have done. Both guys walked out of it looking good, even though Strowman won. It was just that little. Every once in a while, you get those glimpses.
Yeah,
somebody knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And somebody, you know, these guys had a. Where they put this great match together that even, I mean, everybody knows that Strowman's beaten Finn Balor. They know he's their guy, but it was Cool Hand Luke. They did the Cool Hand Luke. Did you watch it?
No, I have not seen it.
Cool Hand Luke and George Kennedy's fight
mm-hmm.
where George Kennedy keeps knocking him down and he just won't stay down. Even Strowman at one time says, why don't you just stay down?
Yeah.
You know, it stopped getting back up because he likes the guy.
Yeah.
He likes the guy, and he doesn't want to keep hurting him. But he just keeps picking himself back up and getting up off the mat. And finally, Strowman beats him, and then he reaches down and he picks him up and he stands him up in the corner.
Yeah.
And everybody claps for Finn.
Yeah.
And it got both guys – one guy went over, one guy goes over.
Yeah.
Which is – if you know how to lay wrestling out,
yeah,
that's how you lay wrestling out. When you got two guys that you know, if he beats Curt Hawkins, it doesn't matter,
right?
If Curt Hawkins gets over,
yeah.
But when it's two guys that you can actually do something with, one guy goes over, the other guy should get over, and that's why I've never been a fan of this. you get your stuff in and I'll get my stuff in, and we'll do these 50-50. We'll both hit all our big moves.
Right.
That's why I don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
Because that is not what happens. Then it's kind of the opposite. Just one guy wins.
Yeah.
But when it's two guys that matter, if you actually take the time to tell a story,
yes,
then you can make both guys better when it's over with.
So, you know, several episodes ago, we talked about producers of matches, and now the cool thing is somebody will tweet out, hey, this is who produced all the matches. And it's like, oh, that guy's a good producer of matches, this guy. So, like, I just want everybody to know I'm the one that started that.
And I'm the one that said maybe we should give a little credit to the guys in the ring.
No, right. And listen, they could have laid that out perfectly for Balor and Strowman. They still had to go out there and pull it off, and they were able to do that. And they were able to do it just from your description. I mean, they're kind of playing that David and Goliath card, and yeah, that gives me the impression that they've got plans for Balor, because that's how you build a like, you cannot build a babyface unless he gets the crap beat out of him.
There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, look, the Hulk Hogan did it every week. Dusty Rhodes did it. You know.
Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton. That's wrestling.
Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg. Goldberg. He's a, yeah.
One of the greats.
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
Only guy that doesn't work with, evidently, is Roman Reigns. You can beat the crap out of him every week.
That's so true.
Yeah, they love it, man.
That's so true. Well, let me ask. So part of this, part of what I think, I don't think, Fox just got all this money from Disney. I can't remember what the total deal. It was multiple billion dollars.
Yeah, it's big time.
What do you think Fox's angle is in that? What does Fox get out of giving WWE $1 billion?
I think. All right, I just solved what 2-3 weeks ago. There was this big list announced of all these TV shows that have been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Because every single TV show that they put on the air, 9 times out of 10, with the exception of the least, even like The Exorcist, which has a huge following in the horror community where they have an Exorcist TV show.
Yeah.
And then they cancel it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how it's going to do.
Yeah.
But with WWE, they know what they're getting.
Yes.
They know what the rating is going to be.
Yeah.
And they know that it's only going to go up when you put it on network television.
Yes. Yes. I want to talk about that in a second.
I mean, still to this day, there are people out that don't have cable.
Yes.
That would probably be willing to watch wrestling if it was on network TV.
And you can watch Fox. So, I think you can watch Fox over the internet. I don't think you have to have a cable subscription. Yeah.
So, I mean, why wouldn't you take something? It's already got a fan base.
Right.
It's not going anywhere. It's been here for 60, 70 years, going back to the Capitol Wrestling days. This company's not going anywhere.
And if the show takes off, Roman Reigns isn't going to be like, you know what, you guys are going to have to pay me X number of dollars per episode, like on a regular show.
Right. They already.
If a regular show gets popular.
All that's already handled. They're taking care of all the talent contract. They don't have to deal with any of that stuff.
Right.
This is, I mean.
You're basically paying somebody. The writers are in place. The set's in place. Everything's in place.
It's already
like,
got all
it's
the,
a turnkey.
The infrastructure is already built for this company. Fox doesn't have to invest anything.
And it's not, you're not just getting 20 episodes a year. And like when
you can make a claim that you got original programming every week from this company.
Yeah. So there was a show called The Middle that just had its final episode this week. I've never seen it.
Right.
What did it run? 8 years? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But wrestling is not going anywhere.
No.
I think everything you just said is absolutely brilliant.
And you take, and you know, like a show like The Middle, never saw it. But I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
All right. And I know that there's some kids on the show, and you hire these kids, and they're 8 years old, and they're adorable. And then they grow up, and they're awkward-looking 14-year-olds.
And they start doing drugs.
Right. And what made the show great were these cute, awkward little kids, and now they're not cute, awkward little kids anymore.
Right.
So you don't have the draw with WWE. somebody's going to be a big deal today, and 3 years from now, somebody else is going to be a big deal. So it's constantly going to be changing. It won't be the same. It's like you said, it's a turnkey operation for them. Everything's already established. The fan base is already there.
I think there are going to be people. I think about this. This is exciting for me. There are going to be people who have not watched wrestling, who don't know anything about wrestling, who are going to start watching wrestling now. They're going to be watching the NFL and something like, what is this? There's going to be a kid. Man, think about that. There's going to be a kid who's going to see, wow, what in the world? Dad, can we watch that? It's Friday night. Now, a lot of people have plans on Friday nights. Friday nights is not where you put your most popular shows.
No.
But
if they have a show, though, that's going to draw 4 or 5 million people,
yeah,
10 million. I don't know how many people watch Raw. I don't follow that stuff.
What was the what was Fox's option? I don't know if you've seen. They're bringing back Magnum P.I. They're bringing back Roseanne. They already brought back Roseanne. They're bringing back. Like, what's Fox? Fox is thinking, all right, we can redo 90210 or we can get WWE.
Right.
And I think it's going to be – I think this is great for – obviously great for WWE. I think this is going to be great for wrestling because I think there's going to be people – I really believe there's going to be people in our area, okay, who have not been watching wrestling, and they're going to see it's going to be on Fox, and they're going to check it out. Or they're going
to say, you know, I ain't watched wrestling in 10 years. I'll give them a shot.
I'll give them a shot. And then you're like, man, I wonder if there's any wrestling around here. Oh, Battlezone got a show.
Right. And then they're going to see, you know, I'm going to look at this. And, oh, look at there. Billy Gunn's going to be, boy, I love DX.
Yeah.
I think I'll go out there. And I can meet him for $20.
Yeah.
You know, I might as well go out there.
So, another change that was made with WWE announced this week is every pay-per-view. I don't know.
By the way, I'm not claiming that Billy Gunn's going to be at the next Battlezone show.
No.
He's just the first person
He
has been there, and he just popped in today.
Right. Every pay-per-view is going to be 4 hours, with the big four pay-per-views going to be 5 or 6 hours. I think now you're going to have all these new eyeballs on your product who don't even know you have a network. That now you're trying to sell the network to. So why not expand your programming there? I'm just going to be honest. I probably will watch Money in the Bank. But I'm watching other stuff. But
I'm going to watch Money in the Bank because I want to see Rousey have a real match.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that. I think she's the future of that company right now, man.
Yeah.
I think that's who they need to be putting their money in. That's what they need to be driving the stuff. I think her and Charlotte should main event WrestleMania if she's any good.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out if she's any good. You
know. All right. That leads me to my next question. Because I think this Fox deal, they saw the buzz Ronda Rousey got.
Mm-hmm.
What does this do to the roster? Do you think they keep this split roster, or do you think they go back to?
I think it depends. I think if Fox says, "Hey, we'd really like it if Ronda Rousey was on our show instead,"
right?
Well, then I'm sure there's going to be some concessions made there for that kind of money,
right? Right.
Or whoever, we'd like it if Roman Reigns was on this show. I don't think anybody's going to be saying that, but
right.
But then again, if you didn't know anything about wrestling and you laid 5 pictures out and said which of these do you want, most people are probably, I'll take Reigns and Strowman.
That's been the meme going around,
right? Yeah, but I think there's some truth to that. If you don't know any of them from any of them, but you're thinking, which one of these guys looks like he could win a fight? Are you going with Roman Reigns or The Miz?
Right. I'm very interested. I mean, we're looking, we're about 14 months out from all this kind of taking place. I mean, Rousey may get out there Sunday night and just bomb.
Yeah, she may lay an egg, man. You don't ever know. Is that this Sunday? It's not this Sunday.
Is it? Yes, this Sunday.
I thought it was in June.
I thought it was this Sunday. Listen, I've been wrong before. Oh, I had another question for you. Now I can't remember what it was. But if you're a wrestler for WWE, don't you want to be on SmackDown now?
I would think so.
Like, don't you want to be on Fox?
Yes, I do.
Like, when was the last time wrestling's never been on primetime network television?
Yes, yeah, it has. On Fox, they did a Saturday night's main event.
No. What I mean, episodic, weekly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe in
well,
certain.
It depends. SmackDown was on network television.
Well, I'm sorry. I meant one of the big four. ABC, NBC, CBS,
well, UPN
Fox.
UPN was considered. I think it was UPN, wasn't it, that SmackDown was?
I don't consider them.
Whether you do or you don't. If there, it doesn't matter. It was a network. It was a public network that you didn't have to have
true.
Cable to get.
That's true.
You don't think it's people are love shows like Riverdale and Supernatural and stuff like
and
that.
And The Arrow.
People love those shows.
Yeah, that's
it's
very
a,
true.
It's a legitimate network, and SmackDown was on it, but far be it. Don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Well, sometimes the truth needs to get in the way of a bad story.
June 17th, by the way. Money in the Bank, June 17th. Oh. I told you it was in June, just for the record.
The record will note. I'm noting it right
once
now.
Once again, I was right.
Oh, shut up.
You were wrong.
How do you think?
Usually the case.
How do you think? Oh, now I remember. So one of the things, wrestling journalist, I'm doing
the Eric Sports.
One of the things that I've seen is now they're saying, well, since WWE got that, they should get everybody health insurance and consider them employees. He didn't get to this point by doing that. He's done it the way he does it.
Here's the thing. I tend to agree.
Right.
I tend to think, you know, if you're making that kind of money, that you can take care of. But I think they take care of all there. I'm sure Charlotte got her teeth knocked out. I'm guessing she didn't pay for that.
No, they pay for their surgeries and rehab and
surgeries and stuff. And I mean, if the people that are agreeing to do it are agreeing to do it,
right?
Then that's you sign an agreement, you sign a contract. If you're willing to do that, then do that. I don't know what to tell people. It's kind of like them having to work on Christmas. I don't care.
Right.
That's their. I don't know. When I took my job, there were certain discussions that we had, and I knew certain things going in.
Right.
When I agreed to take the job.
Yeah.
And I don't retroactively go back and say, I think my company needs to reconsider this position because they told me before I agreed to take the positions.
And wouldn't you say most people who get into wrestling know that's the deal?
Everybody who gets into wrestling
right.
should know that's the deal. If they want to unionize, if those guys want to get together and unionize, that's their business, man.
Yeah.
And they can do that. But most of them seem to be content.
Right.
Even or at least the way they speak, they are. They seem to be fine with what they do. And if they make enough money that they can handle these things, then it's not my concern.
Right. We just want to be entertained.
I'm not out trying to justify what they listen. They Roman Reigns made more money last month than I'm going to make all year. So I don't care what kind of insurance he's got. That's his, that's his problem. It's not my problem.
Right. I just want to know what kind of conditioner
he uses. If he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
If Roman Reigns doesn't like the situation, then he can quit and go get a day job.
Right.
Other than that, I don't care what their insurance and their 401k situations are. I worry about what mine is.
Yes. Let's talk about quitting and getting a day job. A couple of years ago, young man, son of a plumber, Cody Rhodes. Asked for his release from WWE. Mm-hmm. If you remember, fans, he made this list of people he wanted to wrestle. And no one knew. No one knew what was next for Cody Rhodes. Started doing the independents. Sorry. but then we come to, just a couple of weeks ago, the All In show coming up in September.
Uh-huh.
Sells out. We did an episode. This is what they got to do to sell out 10,000.
Because who knows better than us?
That's right. they didn't have to do any of that. Right. No
they,
one.
Did they not? Did they not have to do any of that? You know who they announced right before the tickets went on sale for being part of StarCast?
Who?
CM Punk.
No, he's part of StarCast? He's signing autographs at Pro Wrestling Tees that weekend. But he's
right at a booth, right?
No.
Oh, he's just going to be at their little shop.
He's going to be at Pro Wrestling Tees shop, but he's going to be in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I misunderstood that. I assumed that what they meant was they were going to have a little booth at StarCast.
No. He's
how weird is it? There's so many wrestling podcasts that there's a convention for wrestling podcasts, but apparently you have to pay to be able to podcast from the wrestling podcast convention.
Can I? Well, you got to pay to get a booth. I mean, you'd have to do that at any convention. Can I just say that now that you shared with me some details about your fall plans and what they are not.
Yeah.
And I didn't plan on going to StarCast because, like, well, you know, Mark's doing his normal thing this fall. He's going to be gone in September. We can't go to StarCast.
When is StarCast? When is it?
It's Labor Day weekend. Do we have time? Can the double dropkick show make it to StarCast? Because we can't get tickets. We can't get tickets to All In. There's no tickets left for StarCast. Can we be there? Because I think, let me just go ahead and put that out there. This is an illegitimate event unless you and I are there.
Well you know, my good personal friend, Bruce Mitchell.
Yes.
Is one of the guest superstars. Let me get in touch with him. Maybe he needs some equipment guys or something like that. Bruce. And I know that you'll be happy to handle his equipment.
Oh, Bruce, I'll carry your bags. Listen, and while we're just talking on that, Conrad Thompson, kudos to you.
Yeah, like as I said before, I was critical of the guy, and if I'm being 100% honest, some of it probably just boiled down to jealousy.
Professional jealousy.
Professional
That's
jealousy
right.
that this guy, but he's American Dream, man.
Yeah.
When they call him the Alabama Dream, I got to give him props, man. I got to give him credit, dude. He worked hard. He made a bunch of money. And then he was able to use that money to find that. Whereas so many guys.
Yeah.
This is what's cool about it. I just thought about it now. Because what have I always said? I prefer wrestling documentaries and wrestling shoot interviews.
Yeah.
And wrestling podcasts to actual wrestling.
Yeah.
At this point.
Right.
Maybe he's the same way.
Yeah.
And whereas so many guys waste their time and their money and their resources trying to be part of the wrestling business.
Mm.
He got himself involved in the shoot interview business.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean? Because that's what he liked. And he liked the documentary stuff. And he liked the shoot interviews. He liked that backstage stuff. He liked the stories and the legends, the urban legends and the lore of wrestling. And now he's debunking a lot of that stuff.
Right.
Or at least he's getting to talk to people who are actually there about it.
Right.
And I think that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Like, that is really cool. And if I'm just being 100% honest, probably – the fact of the matter is, when I listen to what he says about actual wrestling, not asking questions, when I listen to his takes on wrestling, I don't think he's a very good wrestling mind.
Right.
I don't. And that was my criticism. I never criticized the podcast stuff. I just criticized when somebody had him on to analyze some wrestling, and I heard what he said. I was like, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right, right.
He doesn't understand how this stuff works. That's just my opinion on how his... On his rep, but he recognized that about himself. And he self-corrected.
Yeah.
And I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was like, hey, wait a minute. I'm not an expert. I'm not. I'm just a fan with questions, and I want those questions answered.
Right.
And they were already had some listeners.
Yeah.
They already had a lot of listeners. But when he when he stepped back and accepted that role,
mm-hmm.
that I'm not going to give my opinions about things. I'm just going to ask these guys, you know, and I'm going to present to them what fans think.
Right.
And what fans thought. But I'm going to approach this as a fan who's got the opportunity to ask questions that I've always wanted to ask.
Yeah.
And they took off to the moon, Kat.
Yeah.
because that's what people have been wanting, is to not hear, because it's, I love Honky Tonk Man. And I love his shoot interviews.
Yeah.
But I also know Honky Tonk Man is working the Honky Tonk Man shoot interview gimmick.
Yeah.
I also am smart enough to know that a lot of what Bruce Pritchard says, I know, he knows that I know.
Yeah.
That he's saying some of that tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
He doesn't hate some of the people that, you know, it's the same with all those guys. They create the shoot interview persona.
Yeah.
The good ones do.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that Bruce is not going to say anything bad about Vince McMahon and Triple H.
Right.
But that's become part of the gimmick.
Yeah.
Now that he's not going to do that kind of stuff. And anyway, my hat's off to Conrad Thompson. Now he's tied himself in with this All In deal.
Yeah, he.
But boy, did they not tell Russo he wasn't invited.
Wow. Yeah, that's been a whole nother. And what great. I mean, it's great work so here's how it works. You announce, you do the All In, you announce Russo, you disinvite Russo. You know you got the Bash at the Beach episode on Bischoff's podcast coming up. And it's like, hey, we're going to use this controversy to get us listeners for this pod. I mean, it's,
well, there's some of that, but I also think that they're partners together.
Yeah.
The All In and the Starcast, yeah. The way I understand it. They're sort of partnering up, but they're still independent of one another.
Yeah.
And I think that the invitation was sent to Russo without checking with some of the other with the All In guys, and they vetoed it.
Yeah.
But the announcement had already been made.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an embarrassing situation, I guess. But really, it winds up, it's good for all parties involved.
Right.
I mean, it gives Russo something to talk about.
Right.
Like, he needs something else to talk about.
So I was looking at Starcast, like, if you get a ticket. And, like, to me, and this made me appreciate Conrad even more. Because I think the one thing we criticized him for was self-awareness. And now it's like he's fully self-aware. Because you look, what are some of the things they're doing at Starcast? Get your picture made with the belts. Like, Dave Milliken's going to be there with all these belts. Come, and it's like, it is a Mark's dream. Get your picture made in Ric Flair's robe.
It's the guy that loved going to wrestling conventions that said, it's just like his podcast.
Yes.
You know what I wish I could do is have somebody who was actually there that I could ask these questions to.
Yes.
And now I've seen him at the Mid-Atlantic Convention. We talked about it. If you watch the show on the WWE Network, there's a pair of Dusty Rhodes boots in the background that I stood there and held, and you held, and we were like, man, that's awesome that they got Rhodes' boots. And the guy at Hotspot said, well, I've already had an offer.
Oh.
For, I forget what it was.
Yeah.
It was like $2,500, I think. Somewhere along those lines. Somebody's already offered me that much. And if I can't find him, that was Conrad Thompson that bought those boots.
Yeah.
So he's always been at the, you know, I saw him walking down the hall right after the show had just started. And somebody said, hey, that's that guy that does that show with Ric Flair.
Oh.
I didn't even realize it. You weren't there. You had, that was when you had to go to the
wedding.
The wedding. And I was outside smoking.
And you could have been working out the deal with Conrad Thompson.
Well, I didn't know him. You know,
nobody knew him,
but somebody's just said to me.
But people knew us.
Somebody said, hey, you know, that's Conrad Thompson. That's the guy that does that podcast with Ric Flair. I said, oh, man, you know, that was cool. Because it was right after the reason that people were talking about it was because it was after Flair had made the claim that Greg Price still owed him $10,000.
Right.
And that's why it was kind of a big deal, because people were thinking, is he even going to show up? But anyway, it was like he goes to those and says, you know what I wish they would do?
Right.
At these. Well, why don't I just do one myself?
Yeah, because if you think about it, when you go to one of those, especially the last one we went to, once you had been through that room, you had done it.
You had done it, yeah. Yeah. But the cool thing about the last Mid-Atlantic convention that we went to that I really enjoyed was going to the Q&A sessions, which I think maybe they didn't do as many the first year we were there because they were always doing those signings.
Right. They switched it.
But they switched it up to the Q&As, and I went to a lot of those while you were gone.
Yeah.
And it was great. I mean, yeah. I went and so I watched the Honky Tonk Mans, and yeah. I watched the Ole Anderson. I watched the Jim Cornette and Lance Russell, and I mean, they were some great. I missed Rob Van Dam. I wish I'd have gone to it. But
yeah,
that was really fun, man, to get to sit and watch all of it.
Yeah, I'm going the beginning of August. I'm going to Scenic City Invitational, and last year. There was a lot of podcasters there, and there was a lot of stuff that happened, but none of it was really planned. And so I'm trying to get in contact with some of the, you know, people behind it. I'm like, hey, let's make some of this stuff official. I mean, if we're going to have all these podcasters there, why not give, you know, podcast A a slot? Like, hey, do you record a show right here, and podcast B, you do a show here. Like, listen. When I heard about StarCast, I'm just like, dude, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that is – because, I mean, if you look at the schedule, it's live shows the entire time.
Right.
So, like, if you can go around and you can meet everybody or you can – I mean, you got options. It's not just, all right, the display room's open and have fun. I mean
– Right. Go look at the same stuff for
– And I'm pretty sure – I mean, I don't have any insider information on this, but – I would not be – I do think there's something coming back to Charlotte. I don't think it's going to be Greg Price.
Right.
I think some things are in the works. And I think Conrad, I think he sees money in that.
I think he does too, especially if you move it around. Instead of doing it at the same place every year, I think if you move that around different places – You know,
yeah,
but like that all in deal is in the perfect part of the country, man.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, like, I mean, we got PWX down here, which is kind of our super indie. But I'm guessing, and I don't know because I just don't follow it that close. I don't follow the independent scene around here,
right?
Much less in other parts of the
me country. Neither.
But I know that there you got like PWG, obviously, there's some Northeastern promotions that do fairly well. And people travel to go to those shows.
Yeah.
I know I've talked to people that have talked about traveling from Texas to watch PWX.
Yeah.
So you put it in this, like, great spot in the country where people can just travel a few hours, 5, 6 hours, 8 hours, and they can all get there. You know, it was perfect, man. They put it in the perfect place. You announced the perfect guy, whether they're partnered up or not, certainly I think he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that somebody talked to him and said, man, it would be cool if you could do this. We know it would probably help out. And I still ain't convinced he doesn't show up at that event.
Right. Gotcha.
I think he'll be there. Maybe not.
Yeah. So we were talking before we hit record about Cornette had laid out, he talked about this on his show. Mm-hmm. He laid out, hey, for them to sell out, they got to do A, B, C, and D. One of the things he said, man, he mentioned Chicago.
He said do it in Chicago, yeah.
I heard, and you and I both listened to it. Cornette went on for an hour saying, man, congrats to these guys, man. They did a great job, and they did this, they did this, they did this. That should have been major news. We might be the only people talking about it.
This is true. This is true.
What?
No, nothing.
Did I mess up?
No. No. Why?
But you just had this look on your face like I meant blew the spot or something.
No, he, like, you know, I listened to the show, and that's what I was saying, you know, today, like, because I saw it, like, when I got up today, I was using the bathroom and I was going through Twitter because that's the perfect time to read garbage opinions.
Right.
You're expelling waste from your body.
This is true.
And that's how I feel about Twitter. But like he spent an hour praising people that he has openly talked about how disgusted he was with. He doesn't like them. He doesn't like what they do. He doesn't, you know, he's not, but he spends an hour going in depth into everything that they did right and how he took his hat off to them,
right?
clearly they understand how to use social media today. Yeah. They understand these things that he admittedly doesn't.
Right.
And he said he admitted where he was wrong about some stuff. And nobody, yeah. nobody tweeted at him.
Right.
Nobody said, hey, man, that was cool that you put aside your personal feelings.
Right.
Nobody said anything about him heaping praise upon people that he has publicly wished would be boiled alive.
It was uncharacteristic of
him. It really was, man, if you listen to it. And then they showed somebody sent a GIF out of Kota Ibushi wrestling a blow-up doll.
Yeah.
And he does what he always does.
Yeah.
I don't understand why anybody would.
Right.
And everybody lost their minds on him again.
Yeah.
Like, he's, you know.
Yeah.
And they paint him as the old man shaking his fist at the clouds.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he can be that sometimes.
Yeah.
He can be that sometimes. But we all can.
Right.
All of us who are passionate about something, passionate about what we like, will stand up for it, man. I had somebody say to me one time recently.
Yeah.
Recently, somebody said this to me. Because people know me and know that we do wrestling-related stuff.
Right.
And they know that you and I did commentary and blah, blah, blah. And this guy said, I hear you did something with that wrestling stuff. Yeah. And he goes, is it the real wrestling or is it the fake kind? And I went, it's the kind that people get really offended when you call it fake.
Mm-hmm.
He went, man, I'm sorry. You know,
yeah,
because those of us who care about wrestling
right.
still care about that kind of stuff. And Jim Cornette is passionate about wrestling. And yes, some of the stuff that he said, he's a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
He's a curmudgeon. That's what he does.
Yeah.
That's his thing, man.
Yeah.
And that's what people want to hear. And it's what I like about him. It's what I like the fact that even though I don't always agree with every single thing that comes out of his mouth, I like that there's this one guy that at least can say the stuff that I think about wrestling and people pay attention to it.
Right.
You know, because I do agree with him about wrestling blow-up dolls. And
yeah.
I do agree with him about – I told you, man, I used to watch PWG. Every time they put a DVD out,
yeah,
I ordered the DVD.
Right.
And really liked it. There's always a place for me for those video game matches.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that stuff.
Right, right.
Because I know what I'm watching. But once they did the slow motion spot,
yeah,
I stopped watching. No, I haven't bought a DVD since.
No, that's true.
I'm not going to support a wrestling company that does that kind of stuff.
Right.
If I was doing commentary at a show,
right,
and somebody starts doing that on commentary, I assure you I would discuss how stupid they were.
Right.
And if you're listening to this and you do that kind of stuff, you're stupid and you don't deserve to be in the wrestling business. And you're looking at me like, oh, somebody does this that you know. And that's fine.
No, that's right.
That's fine.
Right.
That's how I feel about it.
Right.
They don't have to agree with me. It doesn't change the fact that I can be friends with somebody.
No, right.
But we have different wrestling philosophies.
Yeah.
We have different philosophies about what's good. I'm never going to watch that. I will not be a part of a company that endorses that type of activity.
Right.
I won't do it.
Right.
I'm not interested in it.
Right.
Will not do it. You know, and that's just the way it is. And I like the fact that Jim Cornette stands up for that.
Right. And I think around here, because I just had to do commentary over a match that had something like that in it. And I said, okay, how do you want me to play this, you know? And I was just kind of like, what are they doing? You know, I
see who did it.
It was a match. It was a old Battle Zone match from a couple years ago with Zane Riley and Josh Powers, and they were doing the thing. And Zane Riley, that's what he does. I mean, he does different things like that. I'm not a fan of it either.
Right.
I'm not a fan of it. We're trying to get the thing on the DVD, and I'm like, you know, how do you want me to call this? And I called it as if, what are they doing? What is going on right now? Like, that's how I, you know.
You are a better man than me.
Right.
Because I will not lend my voice to anything like that.
Right. And so I can't remember. I mean, it wasn't a long match, but I was just kind of like, what's going on, and I definitely didn't want to do a slow motion voice.
If you had done a slow motion voice, we would probably not do this show anymore.
Yeah,
I'm that serious about it.
No. It was it was interesting for me to be in that position because we had never had to do anything like that before.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out how do I approach this? You know, how do I, And I think I tried to do it to, I tried to do it to the best of my ability and, hope those are few and far between,
I'm disappointed in you for doing it. This is not joking. I'm being dead serious. I'm disappointed in you for doing it. I mean, it doesn't change anything.
Right.
We're still friends.
Right.
We're still going to go wreck a buffet.
Right.
But I am disappointed that you would lend your voice, and lend the name of our show to something like that.
Yeah. Well, and I know there's other, I think there's another match, I got to do. So it's just, it's just navigate. I'm navigating waters I've never been in before.
Right.
And having to think about stuff like that.
That's why I don't want to be involved with stuff because I don't want to have to navigate those waters. I don't want to ruin real friendships with people that I like over something that I disagree with and would refuse to do.
No, right.
You know what I mean?
Because
I like other people, and I don't want to ruin those friendships.
Right.
But I would not do that.
Right.
And, if it happened and I was live, I would acknowledge on commentary how stupid it was.
Right.
And that's not going to change.
Right.
Based on me finding out you did it for somebody, I still think it's stupid.
No, right. I am right there with you.
Why do it? Why lend your voice and the reputation of our show?
Because it's basically in that situation, it's you're doing commentary for a DVD,
right?
And I didn't know it was in the match.
Okay.
Well, maybe I did. I can't remember.
Well, you asked how to handle it beforehand.
I think it's because I knew he was in the match, and I knew he did stuff like that. And I said, how do you want me to?
Oh, you were asking the guy who did it.
No. I was asking the I asked Boomer. I said, how do you want me to handle this?
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure I said, I don't want to, I don't want to play along with, what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's just me. Like, if you know that this is, if a guy is a one trick pony,
mm-hmm.
and this is what he does in all his matches,
right?
I wouldn't book him.
Yeah,
right. And
it ain't my company. I mean, I don't.
Right. And then this again, what I'm talking about was 3 years ago.
Right.
This is 3 years ago.
Right.
But funny ain't money.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just not. There again, it's not something that I don't like having. It's not my voice, so I don't care.
Right. Now I'm interested to go back and see how I called it.
Right.
Now I'm interested because I think it was just kind of like, what are they doing? What is this? What is going on right now?
Right. I mean.
Yeah.
I think I would just have to excuse myself and go to the bathroom till that comes back.
Yeah, I thought about that. I know you and I, there was a certain instance at a wrestling show, and we went radio. We had radio silence, mm-hmm. Listen.
Yeah, I'm not trying to knock anybody. You got to do it. I've said it before. People got to do what they got to do to make money.
Right.
So don't misunderstand. But for me, I don't have to do that.
Right. No, right. But I think, I go back to, I think you're right. And I think obviously PWG still selling out, was still selling out their building.
Right, right.
But I,
there's, listen, there's a market for it. I understand there's people that don't dislike it.
But what I, with it, but how
I'm
many,
not going so far as to say, oh, they deserve to be boiled alive. I'm right. not saying that. I just disagree with doing.
But you, but you disagreed with it. You stopped buying DVDs. By that, I stopped watching the DVDs. So since that, we, you and I have not watched a PWG show.
I could
show.
Not tell you what happened. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, we used to watch Bowl every year, and we did a review of that. And like how, but how many people like us are the same way? You know, who all who. You know, stop buying the DVDs because right. it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And I go back, you know, even to the grenade spot, and that's like, but there's some people like that's, there's some people that would prefer an entire wrestling show like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a niche market, you know, and I get that. It's we talked about it, it's Deadpool turning and talking to the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing. And there's a market for that. I'm just not that market. I'm not that audience. I mean, I just will go back and watch some old Mid-South. Or...
Because when you go to a movie, you know this is a movie.
Right.
But when you go to wrestling...
If you're good at wrestling...
It's presented at a, as a legitimate contest.
Yeah, the people that are good at it know how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and who's... Here's the thing. At the end of the day, Fox gave Vince McMahon $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they care who's on his show.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because it's like you said, the roster just churns. WWE is a machine, man. And you get in it and you get out and you make as much money as you can. And if you're lucky to be somebody like Cody Rhodes who's having tons of success on the indies and doing lots of fun things. And I do like what Cornette said about the All-In show. Do it again.
That's
do true. It every week.
Do it again.
I thought about, you know, how many does Greensboro Coliseum hold? 8,000?
I don't know.
I think Greenville held 5 or 6. But, like, we're talking about – but you think about this. The whole wrestling world is on fire because a 10,000-seat arena sold out one time.
Right.
And wrestling, you should sell out 10,000-seat arenas 7 days a week all around the country.
All around the country. More than one a day around right. the country. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It was all over the country. Yeah, I mean, it's this whole wrestling's better than it's ever been. No, it's not. One show, like you said, one show selling 10,000 seats is not – changing anything.
Yeah.
Because there's still, I mean, there are people just bought tickets to that just to, because they think Vince McMahon cares.
Right. Did you
we'll show Vince McMahon and we'll buy these tickets to this show.
Did you see?
He doesn't care.
Did you see the tweet? This dude, I guess it was a guy on Reddit, and he said, oh, and he figured out how many much the tickets were, and he figured out, okay, this is how much money they're making off tickets for this. And then he did the budget for the show, and it literally was one of the most ridiculous things. Like, he had off this one show, he had, and maybe he had Kenny Omega getting $250,000 for this one show, like Cody Rhodes $150,000, like he even had like Tessa Blanchard getting $5,000 for this show. And like even down to like like the Young Bucks, $125,000 a piece. And I'm just like, but it was the lower card people that he had making 15, 20, and maybe they are. I don't know.
So I'm not gonna pretend to know the business.
Please.
Yeah, I don't know what people are
wanna know. They want you to pretend to know.
Yeah, I assume that the three guys who are putting the show on
right.
Are getting a percentage of the gate.
Yeah.
And probably sharing that with Omega. And whoever. I mean, I don't know. Is it a crowdfunded? I mean, is it a...
But I'm sure they did. I'm sure. Here's what this person, I don't think, understood. Is before anybody agreed to come, they had to say, all right, I'm coming, and it's going to be, you're going to pay me $2,000.
Right, you know? Right.
And just because it sells out, it doesn't mean, all right, y'all sold out. You gonna give me
think,
three?
Yeah,
no, I mean, change, yeah. So to think that before the show, Kenny Omega's like, "Hey guys, it's going to be $250,000. That is what, yeah. That's not how.
Well, I think it's cool too. This is way off subject.
Yeah.
That the NWA title is going to be defended in front of 10,000 fans. I mean, again, that's pretty cool, man. Who's going to be the champion? Is it Nick Aldis? I mean, is he going to be the champion then?
Yeah. And
take on Cody Rhodes?
I think if you've been following the NWA, he's been doing a pretty good job. And I'm going to tell you, I hope Cody Rhodes wins that belt.
I do too.
I hope
a Rhodes winning the NWA title in front of 10,000 people in Chicago in 2018. That's awesome, man.
How awesome would that be? Yeah. I mean, and if you're Billy Corgan, you got to be thinking, yeah. How can we? And again, we may get to the end of this. I mean, I don't know. Billy Corgan may be playing the long game too. You know,
he could be. He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy, and he's actually got money.
Yeah.
You know, and he understands the entertainment industry.
Yes.
You know, smart guy, man. So, I mean, I hope nothing would make me happier than for them to sell out 10,000-seat arenas every week.
Yeah.
Even if it ain't necessarily the kind of wrestling I like.
Yeah.
I still want to see him do it because it's going to make some competition.
Yeah.
And that competition is going to make Vince McMahon get better. And it's going to make New Japan get better, and it's going to make Ring of Honor get better, and it's going to make PWX get better, and it's going to start this feeder system of guys leaving these smaller companies to go work for these companies,
right,
and bring up some new guys. And you know,
speaking of new guys, I don't know if we talked about this on the last show. James Drake, it was officially announced, James Drake and Anthony Henry signed with Evolve.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome is that, man? It's pretty cool stuff.
Cool.
Pretty cool stuff. One step I guess James Drake faced, was it Keith Lee? Who did he face?
I think so.
And I heard they had a really good match. I'm curious how that, you know, how that's going to affect PWX and other local places.
I don't know what an Evolve contract.
I think you just can't appear on television anywhere else.
Huh.
And I think you just got your first, I don't think it's as glamorous as we would think, but it just means.
I think you're overestimating how glamorous I think it is.
No, right. No. I was speaking to myself and the listeners out there. Yeah. But I do think the contract simply means you will be at all the Evolve dates, no matter what. Here's something let me check the time here. Let me ask you about this. I was talking to somebody yesterday. What is this? If you're an independent promoter and you run regular shows, let's say you run every 2 weeks. You know, I'm just going to pull this out of there. Say you run every 2 weeks. And you build up the guy to be your champion. You build up a team to be your champion. How do you feel about them appearing at another show less than an hour from you the same night as your show? They're appearing on another show with your titles.
It doesn't matter how I feel about it.
If you're the promoter, though.
I mean, do I got people under contract?
Okay.
I got that kind of money that I can offer contracts to everybody? What do you want me to do?
No, but what I'm saying is,
I run every 2 weeks. Am I paying them?
Yes, you're paying them.
Am I paying them the same as everybody else?
That's what I'm saying. Is if with all things being equal, if you're paying the same amount, I would like. There's got to be some kind of agreement. Hey, you're gonna be our champion. We run every 2 weeks. We'd appreciate you being here.
Stop talking to me in hypotheticals and tell me the situation.
No, it is the situation. I mean, I talked about. I mean, you got so APW. Which runs in Chester. You and I have been out there. Great place to watch a wrestling show. A couple of weeks ago, their tag team champions were at PCW.
Who's
in Columbia.
Their tag team?
Jim Nasty Boys.
Okay.
So Jim Nasty Boys show up, defend. They have like four titles. They defend them at that show. And then this Friday night, or tonight, as this is being released, they just did a big long tournament because TJ Boss got hurt. And they put the title on Zuka King. Zuka King's wrestling at another show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what.
Well, I mean, if you put a title, first of all, I'm the promoter. The Jim Nasty Boys is not an issue. Second of all.
Right.
I mean, if you make a decision to put a title on somebody that you already know is not going to be there.
Right.
That's not his fault. That's your fault.
Right. No, you and I are sitting here talking about the NWA title and what it would mean and, man, the prestige that it could have again. And I'm thinking, I don't know, man.
I don't think I said it was going to have prestige.
No, I mean,
I think it'd be cool to see her.
To see it
defended in front of some people. I mean,
right. That would bring prestige to it.
Right, right. I like that. I mean, I like to hear it.
Yeah, I'm just independent.
I think, I don't care about guys that work in front of 100 people.
Right.
I'm not knocking. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
I mean, it's not that big a deal, dude.
Yeah.
I got a life to live. You know what I mean? I can't. What do I care what Chester APW does? It doesn't matter to me, man. I can't be any more honest with
that's
you.
That's the opinion that I wanted.
You know, I don't care.
What
am I marking out for?
No. But the way, I guess the way I feel about it is like, for me, if I don't feel like the promoter cares enough to, hey, we're, you know.
And maybe that's why I don't care.
That's
what it all comes down to. If you don't take your business seriously, what would anybody expect me to take their business serious when they don't?
Right. Right. That's the root of the issue.
If you don't care any more than to do a spot where you go into slow motion mode, then why should I care about you?
Right. So, I mean,
you don't take yourself serious.
Like, to me, it all goes back.
That's why it wouldn't be an issue for me booking the Jim Nasty Boys.
Right. To me, the whole, like, Vince McMahon getting $1 billion because Vince took the business of professional wrestling very seriously.
I'm going to tell you the truth, though. I'll leave you with this.
All right.
I heard somebody else. This is not my idea.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon's a very abrasive personality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that a lot of the credit for this doesn't go to Stephanie McMahon.
No, that's very true.
I think she knows how to work a room of executives. And I think she's been – you talked about Vince being Michael Corleone. No, Vince is Vito Corleone. And Stephanie's Michael Corleone.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. Who's Sonny? Stephanie? I mean, is Shane?
Is Shane Sonny? Yeah, Shane Sonny, man. Come on.
Who's Fredo?
Poor Triple H is Fredo. I think one day she's going to book him in a match with Braun Strowman and kiss him on the cheek right before they go out through the crowd. And Braun's going to break his back and humble him in the old country way.
And no, I think I read multiple articles saying there's no coincidence that this deal coincided with Stephanie McMahon being named the chief brand officer.
Right. Yeah, she's such a great ambassador. I mean, I've said it. She can that character she plays on TV. I think people just get that confused with the real person sometimes, and the character is way overbearing. But now I think that it's all been building to somebody that was going to give her comeuppance. And I think that somebody is Ronda Rousey. And you saw it Monday night. I mean, that's the long game with them is that Ronda and Stephanie are the new Vince and Stone Cold. Where every so, golly, you and them Dukios, boy, you keep blowing that breath over here.
I took your advice. I did the Listerine
that's because you.
Shut up.
You got that crap on your breath from doing commentary over that match.
I'll accept that.
But no, I mean, I think she's great, man. I think she's great whether you like what that company's becoming or not. And I don't always. But, man, I keep watching because every once in a while, Strowman and and Balor have a match like they had the other night. And that's why I keep watching wrestling, man.
Yeah.
I just filter out the stuff I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention to the stuff that I don't like because every once in a while I see something. And I got enough old wrestling.
Yeah.
Man, I can't watch all the old wrestling that I have access to.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The thing. There's right. so much good stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's so much. I mean, you can go to JimCornette.com and he's got all these wrestling gold DVDs.
That, yeah.
You know, it's got a lot of good stuff on it. There's the High Spots Network's got a lot of that old Memphis stuff on it.
So will
it's,
you?
It's like a lot of good wrestling out there from days gone by.
So I was going to surprise you. Will you do some commentary with me after we get back from lunch?
As long as nobody's going into slow motion and dropping hand grenades.
CM Punk and Christopher Daniels from 2001.
Yeah, be happy to do commentary over anybody that actually knows how to work.
There you go.
And both of those guys, and kudos to CM Punk because he announced this the other day that they, like yesterday, I think, because the criticism is, oh, he doesn't care about the fans. No, he just doesn't care about going back to WWE. I don't think that means he doesn't care about his fans.
Right.
They sold out all the meet and greets.
Yeah.
And then he told them, I'm going to stay within reason.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know that we sold everything. And those people are guaranteed, and then I'll stay as long as I can to try to accommodate everybody else who shows up.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you give back. That's how you keep those people chanting CM Punk.
Yes.
At WWE events is doing stuff like that, man. Like, caring about your fans. And I care about our fans here at the Double Dropkick Show. Our friends. I don't call them fans or
we're family.
Listeners. They're our friends and family, man. And we don't always agree. And I know there's probably going to be some people that are going to listen to what some of the things I said that may be upset.
And that's okay.
But that's fine. That doesn't mean I don't like you.
Yeah, at least we're honest.
I could lie.
Right.
And pretend that I'm all right with some of that stuff.
Right.
It's not, man. I'm not.
Right.
I don't like it. It doesn't – more people in the – if we would reach a point in this world where we could say, you know, we don't have to agree on everything, but it doesn't change the fact that we're friends.
Right. And you know what we agree on that's the most important today?
I do.
Original.
You started tweeting about it yesterday, and I got excited. My butthole quivered a little bit when you
– Well, all right then. I think we need to – pull this ship into the harbor and prepare to go to KFC buffet. Hey,
go raise.
Hey,
that's RAZE.
So
buffet.
As we're recording the audio for this, we are broadcasting live in our patrons Facebook group. Yeah.
Let me see if we have questions. How about that?
How about that? Yeah.
We'll answer. And let me see. I'm sure I'm getting cussed out by somebody right about now.
But you can, you can become a patron for $1 a month. Listen, it's $1. If we don't give you $1's worth of content in a month with some of behind the scenes video, Carrie's Corner, bi-monthly, South Carolina Pro Wrestling behind the scenes, cause there's a lot of you out there. Mark does not care about the independent wrestling. He's very honest about that.
No, it's not that I don't care. I'm just selective about what I do care about.
Right.
I watch some of it. I mean, I if I see a Sons of Steel match, I'm going to watch it. If I see a James Drake match, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of the three count stuff that I get a chance to watch. Because I do like Austin Jordan, if I see his stuff. Ace Armstrong, man, J.C. Harper. If I see those guys, if their matches go online, I absolutely watch that stuff. Because I like all those guys.
Yeah.
And I want to support them, and I want them to do well.
Yeah. And you can
as long as they're not doing hand grenade spots, we ain't ever going to have a problem.
Right. Right. That's right. So, hey, patreon.com/doubledropkick, soscustomnetwork.com, get your 7-day free trial today. And where you all the great names we've thrown out today, you can see their matches. And going up next week is going to be this match between CM Punk and Christopher Daniels that you can't see anywhere else. There's only one copy. Like, this match was not broadcast anywhere else. Boomer Payne had the presence of mind in 2001 to set up a video camera.
You know, I bet these guys.
These guys, yes.
Especially one of these guys.
Now, what's going to be funny is if we watch this and in the middle of it, CM Punk calls timeout.
CM Punk throws a hand. Here's how you'll know if that happens. You'll hear me check out on commentary.
Yeah, if Mark quits talking, maybe we should. Now I want to do all matches like that just so you be quiet. Hey.
Only you would say that. Like you do. I just told you before we started, you record like 20 hours of content without me.
Right.
Every week. 20 hours of Facebook live video. Every time I get on Facebook, there you are with them glasses on. And you're either in a wrestling group or you're in a church group or you're just on your own personal thing. I see 20 podcasts go out a week that somehow got my name attached to it that I ain't got nothing to do with. And then I show up here on Thursdays every 2 weeks and you won't even let me talk half the time. You just walk all over me and interrupt me everything I'm saying. Shouldn't this show at this point just be you throwing a question up, letting me answer it, and we can move on?
Yep, and maybe I won't buy your lunch today. But as always, were there any questions?
No. There was one. I think John Ward was watching us. And
yes.
He said he thought everybody should have insurance. So.
Oh, well, okay.
There you go.
Well, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.